blames police for a spike in crime. After his anti-police policies, no wonder cops are leaving in packs. Steve Sisolak is barking mad. Paid for by the Nevada Republican Party. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.nevadagop.org.
The same great show with the same great host.
Just at a new time.
Live and local with Kevin Wall. Now weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
As we told you the other day, and by the way, this hour brought to you by the Libre Initiative. Man, this is amazing. Gas prices in Las Vegas up 24 cents over the past week, now averaging $5.09 a gallon. I paid $5.05, I believe, earlier in the week, over the weekend, I think it was. And gentleman Jim Dallas, you just had a harrowing experience at your local location. What did you pay again?
Yeah, it's a personal record for me. I have never paid more than $5.73 until yesterday for a gallon of gas. I paid $5.75. And at this Chevron, I always put Chevron with Techron in the tank. Seems to run a little better. So you can factor in, you know, that's going to be a nickel more, but it shouldn't be that much. It wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I paid $5.09, and then it went up to $5.39, and then I filled up the next time $5.75. So at this rate, I may hit close to $6 the next time I go to fill up.
Well, and that's why when people say, well, the Dems will rebound, the inflation will get better, the price of a gallon of gasoline will get better, I just don't see that any of these things can get better in the next 40 days or maybe next week when all the mail-in ballots go out and they'll be getting to your home and people will be, you know, filling them out and mailing them back in. I don't know that anything's going to change, is it?
Well, it gets frustrating because I saw the other day that the price of oil was around $80 a barrel. And that's a far cry from when I paid $5.73 maybe 6 months ago when the price of a barrel of oil was like $1.13, $1.15.
Yeah.
And now I'm paying the same for gas. Go figure.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. It makes no sense at all. We're going to try and sort this out. And by the way, if there is an area where you think it can improve, let me know. I mean, seriously, I mean, we've got 40 days till Election Day, 23 days to the start of early voting, and I don't know that any of this stuff is going to change between now and then. I mean, I think the Democrats are doomed to a big, big blowout. And it's going to be ugly, folks. They're going to throw everything in the but the kitchen sink at us. You know they will. Stay where you are. More to come as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So why do we continue to put our faith in elected officials in Carson City who are more interested in playing politics than getting our state on track? I'm John Sarpolis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute, and we want to stop the cycle of insanity that's holding Nevada and Nevadans back. Go to nevadapolicy.org to learn how our nonpartisan, nonprofit organization is leading the charge, protecting the freedoms and liberties Nevadans prize so highly. Nevada Policy has put principles over politics for more than 30 years, and we need your help to continue building a movement focused on ideas that will move us forward. Learn more at nevadapolicy.org. This Nevada Policy update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association. I'm John Sarpolis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute, and we want to stop the cycle of insanity that's holding Nevada and Nevadans back.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. Help is coming to hurricane-ravaged Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis says the state has received a federal disaster declaration for 9 counties.
I just spoke with the president this morning. He offered support. I told him thanks for this, but because the storm has moved inland and caused a lot of potential damage in the center part of our state, that we are going to be asking for those counties to be expanded and included there.
DeSantis says the federal disaster declaration will benefit affected residents.
That will allow individual Floridians to seek individual assistance from FEMA. And that will be something that, as you have people that have been displaced due to the catastrophic impacts of Hurricane Ian, you know, that's going to be something that's going to be necessary.
Meanwhile, the mayor of Charleston, South Carolina, is asking his city to shut down Friday as Storm Ian approaches. It's out over the Atlantic, strengthening again. Ian is forecast to make landfall a second time Friday along the state's coast as a minimal hurricane. The Senate passed a short-term spending bill on Thursday that would avert a partial government shutdown when the current fiscal year ends at midnight Friday and provide another infusion of military and economic aid to Ukraine. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says there's no reason for the Senate to allow a lapse in government funding.
The last thing the American people right now is a pointless government shutdown.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says aid to Ukraine must flow faster.
Assisting Ukraine is not some feel-good symbolic gesture. It's literally an investment in our own national security and that of our allies.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 458 points, the Nasdaq dropped 314, the S&P 500 lower by 78, oil down to $81 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Nevada, this is Wayne Allyn Root. You've heard me talk about the disastrous policies being pushed down our throats by the Democrats. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of the weak Republicans who don't fight back. Sam Peters is different, and I'm proud to support his bid to win in Nevada's 4th Congressional District. Sam is one of the few running for office who's ready to bring the fight straight to the Washington, D.C. swamp. His race is one of the most targeted races in the country, and you better believe the Democrats are coming after him. If we're going to fire Nancy Pelosi, we have to start with Sam Peters. I need you to go to sampetersforcongress.com right now and make a contribution. Sign up, volunteer, put out a lawn sign, whatever you can do. I'm serious right now. Sam Peters, the number 4, congress.com, and click the donate button. They're attacking Sam with everything they've got, and we need to help him fight back to defeat Nancy Pelosi. sampetersforcongress.com.
I'm Sam Peters, and I approve this message. Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's 2:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Just in time for the busy holiday shopping season to begin, Amazon is giving its frontline workers a pay raise. A frontline worker is someone in customer fulfillment or transportation roles. The e-commerce giant says it's raising the average wage for its frontline workers by $1 an hour, boosting it to $19 per hour. Amazon currently has more than 21,000 full and part-time jobs across the state of Nevada. It is not said how many employees in Southern Nevada will be affected by the wage increase, but did say the move will cost the company close to $1 billion over the next year. Luke Bryan's residency at the Theater at Resorts World is going to go on into 2023. The country music superstar has added a dozen dates next year, beginning February 1st and running through April 1st. The dates will cover a Super Bowl weekend, reaching the first anniversary of Bryan's residency. The new dates are in addition to Bryan's half-dozen shows, which run from November 30th through December 10th of this year. And that just happens to be the same time that the National Finals Rodeo is in town. It's a good match.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
And we're seeing some backups on the Beltway 215 West, beginning around Gillespie, because there's only one lane available as you transition from 215 West, merging to Interstate 15 northbound, and you'll see restrictions there on 15 North between Warm Springs and Hacienda.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We always say that we leave the best for last, and so it is. Peter Navarro, he's been on the show before, a good guy, former assistant to President Trump. His new book is out, Taking Back Trump's America, Why We Lost the White House and How We'll Win It Back. He joins us. Peter, how you been, sir?
Kevin, my brother, it's been an interesting ride, but this book, Taking Back Trump's America, for me, has become a mission. As our economies unravel, our borders have fallen apart in the South, and of course, Vladimir Putin and Communist China Xi Jinping are running rampant all over the world. So, for your listeners' information, I was only one of three White House officials who was with President Trump from the campaign in 2016 all the way to the end. I saw kind of everything that happened, and we had the strongest economy in modern history built up and kept peace and prosperity in the world. And it just breaks my heart to see the economy in collapse or financial markets in collapse. I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but we've lost over $5 trillion in wealth in the stock and bond markets just in the last few months because of Joe Biden's ineptness and that of Pelosi and Schumer.
So let me take you back to the title of your book. How did we lose with all of that stuff that you mentioned, the great economy, peace in the world, the Abraham Accords, blah, blah, all of that stuff, and we lost. How did we lose?
The Taking Back Trump's America book, at least the first part of it, goes into exactly that question, and it speaks to the age-old truth of Ronald Reagan that personnel is policy, meaning that if a president like Reagan or Trump puts the wrong people in the White House to serve him, he's going to get bad policy. But in Trump's case, it was not just bad policy bad personnel created bad policy. It was that it led to the bad politics that turned what really should have been a landslide into an election close enough to steal. And in Taking Back Trump's America, I kind of run chapter and verse how that happened. It started with the what Steve Bannon called the original sin of the administration on November 9, 2016. That was the day after the election. The decision was made to allow the traditional Republicans, the RINOs, Republican name only Republicans like Reince Priebus and Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, and others under the Trump tent. And the thinking, Kevin, was that somehow these people were needed to staff the government and they would be loyal to the president. Of course, that did not work out. And I spent the better part of the first 2 years fighting virtually all of them. There was a great story in Taking Back Trump's America where it's in the iconic Roosevelt room in the West Wing, beautiful room. I'm sitting across from President Trump at a very big table, and he's got all the cabinet in there. He's got the top West Wing officials, and he's really perturbed about the slow pace of implementing his trade and tariff policies. And we go around the room and hear from everybody. By the time he finishes, the only two people who really support his trade and tariff policies are him and me. And I see his eyebrows kind of go up. He looks around. It was an epiphany for him at the time that he had trouble inside the perimeter. We were able to overcome that, but these bad personnel, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, the three generals, Mattis, Kelly, and McMaster, Rex Tillerson at State. I mean, these people, they simply would not obey their commander-in-chief, and all of them sooner or later be fired by the boss for that insubordination. But it took a while to shake that bad personnel out of the White House. And, you know, the Taking Back Trump's America book should be a cautionary tale for any future president as to how important those kinds of decisions are.
Who was it that vetted those people? I don't know how they got into the administration if they didn't believe in what the president believed in.
Again, the Taking Back Trump's America book lays that out in great detail. But the short story is after Trump won on the 8th, during the transition period, vetted at least 100 really high-quality, competent pro-Trump people. I worked with a guy named Martin Silverstein right at Trump Tower in Manhattan. But when the keys to the car were essentially turned over to Chief of Staff Reince Priebus and his henchwoman, Katie Walsh, they literally threw those files in a trash can and brought in all the RINOs. So just within the West Wing that first year, the FBI took out Mike Flynn unjustly, so he was replaced by the globalist H.R. McMaster. You had the Goldman Sachs fool, Gary Cohn, as the top economic official. There's a fascinating character in Taking Back Trump's America that I likened to the Littlefinger in Game of Thrones, if your listeners know that. But he was the staff secretary, Rob Porter. You might have heard of him because of the spousal abuse scandal. But the bigger scandal for me was how he would use his position as basically the document runner for the boss to basically shift history in favor of the RINO agenda. And so it was what Steve Bannon called the original sin of the administration to let these people in, and we did pay dearly.
How much impact did Trump have in the vetting of these officials? I'm wondering if, because he's obviously a busy man to begin with, but now with running for office and the interim period between the election and taking the oath of office, did he have much impact at all? Did he look over anybody's shoulder while you were doing this vetting?
Well, he would certainly look at the final choice set that was presented to him. But if he had a choice set of five RINOs,
It wasn't a choice at all. I think it's fair to say that the people who let him down were the people who got in under the tent and began to assert their authority. People you've never heard of. I mean, Gary Cohn you probably heard of, but Gary Cohn, I can't stress how important Reince Priebus was in this whole thing. I actually like Reince. He's a good guy at one level, but when he first came in as chief of staff, his agenda was to block Trump's trade and tariff agenda, full stop. And you know, he went after me. He went after Bannon. He went after anybody who got in the way of that. The funny part, again, this is in Taking Back Trump's America. At the end of 6 months, when the boss was about through with him, Reince got religion and went to me and Steve Bannon and decided that he was going to be the guy that would help us actually get the boss's agenda through. And we welcomed that, but 2 days later he was fired. And we wound up with, one of the worst chief of staffs, I think, in history in John Kelly. And that guy was a disaster in more ways than one. And you can, again, read about that as well in Taking Back Trump's America. I really think people will be fascinated by Taking Back Trump's America because it really goes into how White Houses work and who in that Game of Thrones House of Cards exercise with the good guys and the bad guys.
Let me ask you, kind of circling all the way back to the present, and again, a part of the title of the book, not just why we lost the White House, but how we'll win it back. Do you have any thoughts on this election, a midterm election? Trump is not on the ballot, or is he?
Oh, he's definitely on the ballot. Look, I have the Taking Back Trump's America, the second part of the book, is the battle cry and blueprint for taking back the White House. And the first thing we have to do, and I stated right in Taking Back Trump's America, is to take back the House of Representatives from Nancy Pelosi. There's a fascinating story in Taking Back Trump's America about how in 2018, a couple of mid-level bureaucrats in the West Wing decided to focus too much on the Senate races in that cycle, not enough on the House. Pelosi narrowly grabbed the gavel that could have been stopped easily. And what we didn't realize in the White House, at least those guys, was how Pelosi could weaponize the investigatory powers of Congress in a way that would lead to some several bogus impeachments of the president, a persistent, now discredited Russia hoax. And even after Trump has left, Pelosi continues to hound Trump using unconstitutional means. And of course, I've been caught as collateral damage in that. And you probably heard about my tete-a-tete with the FBI and getting put in leg irons for doing my constitutional duty. But you know, that's another story.
Let me just ask you, this midterm election, we're told it's going to be really decided by people who are impacted by inflation, by the price of gasoline, open borders, that kind of thing. Is there anything else you can add to that? I mean, is there something else that's on the ballot as well?
Well, I can add a big thing there. In Taking Back Trump's America, I propose a Lindsey Graham-free zone in any second Trump term on the grounds, and I told the boss this repeatedly, that every idea that Lindsey seems to come up with, the boss should do just the opposite. And whoever thought it was a good idea, Lindsey, to start running on Roe v. Wade is the only issue that could possibly mobilize the Democrats, is an idiot. And with Lindsey Graham, I repeat myself. So I think the important admonition here, Kevin, is that for your listeners, get mad, don't get frustrated, go out and find candidates that you can help. I know in Nevada, Laxalt for governor is a great race to get involved in, but down in Arizona, there's the Blake Masters Senate race, in Iowa for a House race. Helped Zach Nunn out in Iowa 3, Bo Hines in North Carolina, Caroline Leavitt in New Hampshire. These are the races that are toss-ups that can really help us take back Trump's America. And what I mean by that is an America that's safe and prosperous and focused on the welfare, not of the welfare class, but of black, brown, and blue-collar Americans who are the working-class Trump Republicans that have become the party of Trump.
In our final couple of minutes, can you bring us up to date on what's going on with you and your interaction, as we say, with the FBI and the leg irons? And that was just horrific. But where are you in that process now?
Sure. And my website, peternavarro.com, will not only get you to the Taking Back Trump's America book and Amazon, but also to everything you need to know about my legal defense fund and the status of that. I'm scheduled for trial in a couple of months. We're going through all of the preliminary processes now. But what I, you know, look, when they put me in leg irons, it was an abomination. But in the context of perspective, I was the canary in the coal mine for that panty raid on Mar-a-Lago with the armed FBI agents. And you're looking back at the arc of history, which I've now done, the FBI effectively has been at war with Trump and his advisors going back to the 2016 campaign when Comey, Page, Strzok, and others allegedly started that Russia hoax and tried to keep Trump from being elected to begin with. And that kind of behavior, I mean, the polls on the FBI now, you would never, if you'd asked me 4 or 5 years ago how popular the FBI was with the American people, I'd say it'd be off the charts. Well, now it's off the charts the other way, and that speaks to the weaponization and partisan politics, not only of the FBI, but of the Department of Justice. Or as we say, the Department of our dual system of injustice.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? In our final minute...
Still waiting for Hunter Biden to get indicted, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll put him in leg irons.
Oh, God, I wish. A final minute, give me a prediction on the midterm election. Do we take back the House? Do we take back the Senate?
Yes, and I think it depends on whether your listeners actually sit on their haunches or whether they get out and help some candidates. This will be determined by people who are listening to this show. Take nothing for granted. The only way we stop the steal in 2022 is to drive up Republican and independent turnout, and we must do that. But if the way the economy and stock market's going right now, and gas prices and food prices and evictions and rents and housing prices and the housing market itself, if the Republicans don't campaign vigorously on that right through November 8th, they're foolish. If they do, we could win, could get as many as a net gain of 50 seats in the House.
And, wow.
And maybe a 3 or 4 majority in the Senate. But this isn't nothing for granted, folks. And, you know, Taking Back Trump's America, the book will help you move towards that goal because it's got plenty of ways to move forward in terms of action plans.
Hey, Peter, one more time, if folks want to pick up Taking Back Trump's America, how do they find it? Is it better bookstores everywhere, Amazon? What's the deal?
Yeah, but Walmart has it, Barnes & Noble. It's up on Amazon, and if you shop online, you can either go directly to Amazon and Taking Back Trump's America or go through peternavarro.com. And it'll take you to Amazon as well as my social media and my legal issues.
Hey, Peter, always good to visit with you. I can't wait to read the book. Thank you so much, my friend.
My brother. You take care, Kevin.
All righty. There you go. Peter Navarro, Taking Back Trump's America, Why We Lost the White House and How We'll Win It Back. I can't wait to read it. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Back
By popular demand, the showroom at South Point presents the ultimate entertainer, Frankie Shinta.
Hey, everybody, let's hit some
You get the whole nine yards.